Mark chapter 8. In those days the multitude, being very great, and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him, and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days, and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way. For divers of them came from far. And his disciples answered him, From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, How many loaves have ye? They said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves, and gave thanks, and brake, and gave to his disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes. And he blessed, and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat, and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. There's a correlation between the feeding of the multitude in the wilderness and the way God fed Israel in the wilderness with manna from heaven. And there's a comparison that can be drawn here. God fed them in the wilderness. So Christ is also stepping into that role of dispensing the bread when there is not enough for all to eat. And this is no accident. This is supposed to draw our attention to him as the successor to Moses, so to speak. Or a type of Moses, one who would lead their people out of captivity. Except this time the captivity was not to a carnal nation like the Romans or the Egyptians, but the captivity to the carnal nature, the captivity to the carnal man, to sin and iniquity. Christ set to lead us forth. And as he leads us forth, he is able to provide bread. He's able to provide the daily necessities. That's why he says, Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All what things? Well, what we will eat and what we will drink and what we're going to put on as far as clothes. He says that we should make our first concern the kingdom of God, and that God would provide the rest, that God would let the rest of it take care of itself. Now, this is especially true when Christ was present on the earth, but it still holds true today. I mean, we all are called to work with our hands in whatever calling we may have, as far as if you're whatever your occupation happens to be, however you make your living. We are to do that unless God calls us to something else specifically. You know, Messiah was there. They went out in the wilderness to follow him. We don't have to go out into the wilderness to follow him. We can follow him from the comfort of our homes. Yet, how few do it? How few truly follow Christ in the comfort of their own homes? Because even in the comfort of your own home, the comfort begins to dissipate. How else are you going to deny yourself? Take up your cross and follow me. In fact, in the comfort of home, it can be said to be a little harder, because there are so many things to distract us. If he was out in the wilderness, people would go out and want to see him. But in the Bible, where he hides, men have difficulty finding him. And of course, once again, there are leftovers. In fact, there are more leftovers than there was food to begin with, which is bizarre. Which is also remarkable in that we know the knowledge of God, that God provides enough. There's always enough. If you look at the feeding of the 5,000, or in the 4,000 and whatever, the different feedings that Jesus did in the New Testament, and compare it to the feeding in the wilderness, there is a very different aspect to that in this regard. That when the manna came, there was no leftovers. There was just enough. And then on the day before the Sabbath, there was a double portion, so there would be enough for the next day. But with the manna, you were not to leave any. None was to be left over. And if there was any left over, it would go bad instantly. Corruption would set in. And they were ordered very strictly not to leave any over. And it angered God that any would be left. Whatever was left had to be eaten. Everything had to be eaten. And so true, in this parable, it's not only miraculous that he feeds them, but the leftovers are miraculous. On one hand, because, wow, there's more left over than we started with. And two, he knew how much was necessary. He didn't, like, give out too much. That's not why there were leftovers. That's not why there were leftovers. And he explains it better in the other gospel. But in Mark, Mark didn't want to give the details. He isn't going to instruct us. We have to understand. And that's why we study, so that we can understand. And the reason is the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the scribes and the Pharisees, the leaven, the doctrine. That's what it symbolizes. In the feeding of the 5,000, the excess represents, in the 4,000 here, the excess represents the doctrine of men, the enemies of God, the enemies of Christ. And of course, remember, the enemies of God sometimes think they're the friends of God, and God's on their side. The prophets sometimes got slapped around by the false prophets. And the false prophets would say, which way did the Spirit of God go from me into you? Meaning, what, did the Spirit leave me? I've got the Spirit of God. You are nobody. I'm the prophet of God. You are not. And so they always think they're the ones who are serving God. And isn't that the way we observe the world? Everyone thinks that they're on God's side and God's on their side, or whatever way you want to look at it. They think, God's with me. And the idea is very simple. That the enemies of God have their influence over the people. The multitudes of people have, just like in the parable of the sower, there's the birds that come in and steal, the thorns, there's all kinds of things. And here it represents their false doctrine. Their doctrines are in there. So that whatever he would try to feed them with, they can't consume it all because of the doctrine. You know, the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees has an expansionary effect on the doctrine of Christ. And I tell you what, the generations that followed the initial Christian church became like that. I mean, they absolutely fell in line with the leaven of the scribes and Pharisees. Meaning,